Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Have your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our good friend, Randy Paul. Randy, good to have you with us.
Good evening, James, and everyone out there.
We appreciate the company, everybody. The phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit us in the numbers. Call us up. We'd love to hear from you, everybody. Call up and join the conversation. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour. Every week, we are here with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6. We're able to, thanks to our great sponsors. Visit them on A Street for all your printing needs. And every Wednesday, Phil joins us about 8:45-ish with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. We have some fun with that one, too. Randy and I are going to have a ton of fun today. We're going to be talking some River Kings. We even get to talk a little Rafters news as they are in the news a little today. I got some interesting stats of the show for you and everything. And if you don't like those, that's okay because Randy's got better ones. Randy's at 5:30. We'll come back and Randy will have some high school coverage for us. Looking forward to that. We'll kind of lead into that with some of our Rafter and River King talk as well because we got to talk Kings as well. Nice weekend for them. All that coming up. And we'll get into NFL talk as well. Anything you guys want to talk about, we'll get into. But I gotta ask the audience. I gotta ask you, Randy. I have to ask for a little bit of grace right now. Just a second. I'm going to actually do something. I didn't plan on doing this, but just to make sure, Randy can see what I'm doing. I'm going to time myself. All right. I get a minute of our hour show to complain about my Chicago Bears. And in that time, now we're doing this show in the middle of Wisconsin. I know my audience. You guys can drink my tears, okay, and enjoy and use that as tailgate fodder for as we go into Green Bay Chicago weekend. So the clock is ticking. What? How do you lose to possibly the worst team in the NFL? Does that make you the worst team in the NFL? And I didn't buy any hype. I wasn't, eating all this up that they were a playoff contender or any of these things. But I sure as all that get out, I expect a team to get better week to week. That's all I ask. Just get better week to week. I don't think that's asking a lot, Randy. I don't think I've asked a whole lot of this franchise. I don't think that's a once-in-a-lifetime generational talent. And not only are you mucking him up, and I don't think his career is over or anything like that, but for this season is what I'm focused on. Not only are you ruining that and his rookie season and any potential, you're certainly showing him what not to do. But they went into this game, and I thought, okay, if Eberflus can possibly beat Green Bay, he may have a chance of keeping his job. Right now, not only do I not think it would keep his job, I don't know what could. I don't even think a playoff performance right now could keep his job. Them winning a wild card playoff game, I do not think would do it, and there is zero chance of that even happening. So it's over. It's over for that regime. You're better off cutting him right now and getting an early jump start where you're already the third team looking for a head coach now that we know of going into the next season. Matt Eberflus, I like the makeover. You look great, sir, and I wish you well in your next defensive coordinator position job. But it's done. It's been done, and you lost that locker room a while ago. Thank you, everybody. I went over my time.
Yeah, you don't expect to lose that badly to a team that was 2-7 coming in. That's for one thing. Wasn't it just about 3-4 weeks ago? And maybe it was even a loss, but I think Caleb threw for like 300-400 yards.
Oh yeah,
huge day of passing. Yesterday, 16-30 for 120 yards, 7.5 yards per catch.
He is certainly privy to holding on to the ball too long, some of the decision making. He's certainly got some growing to do, like you would expect out of a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't expect that out of a 3-year head coach. I don't expect that out of a coaching staff that has experience. I don't know what it is that is going on with that team and why things have gone this way. When So, in actual news, the Seattle Seahawks just cut their leading tackler, this Dobson guy. Not a household name, but a guy who came over from Buffalo, a high-priced free agency signing, especially for Seattle, that's in somewhat of a rebuild while at the same time trying to be competitive in that division. They just cut him. There's no reason why. Nothing's been said so far of why that's happened, just that he's gone. That doesn't happen very often. But it's obviously, doesn't sound like it's an injury thing. He wasn't hurt or anything like that. So we are left to think, okay, this is probably something, a locker room thing. This is an off-the-field issue. The talent hasn't changed on the Chicago side. That offensive line is just as bad when it was when he was thrown for 350 when he wasn't. So it has to, almost by law of factors and averages, it has to be a locker room thing. And it's not surprising. Like, you can't win a locker room if you can't win. Very few losing coaches have the locker room. I'm not even putting all this on Matt Eberflus or Caleb Williams or our offensive coordinator. This losing doesn't ever fall on one person, unless it's Dallas. That's different, and that's where I segue into Dallas Cowboy talk, where we will spend another minute, and that's about it, because we got enough people talking Dallas Cowboys. But can we just all sit back and laugh a little bit? Like, none of us are them, at least, unless you are a Dallas Cowboy fan out there, which I encourage you to go ahead and look up NFL Films footage of the 1990s and just enjoy that right for the rest of the season. I wouldn't even pay attention. I would find wherever the Cowboys were in that first year they went on that run. I would find wherever they were in like week 10, whoever they were playing, and I just watch from there on and just pretend that it's that season if I was a Dallas Cowboy fan. Because it's one thing to be bad where, look, between you and I, Randy, I expected the Bears to do this. I expected them to be bad. I didn't expect this coaching staff to turn it around in one year or anything like that, no matter how many nice toys you give them and no matter what the public media is saying or anything like that. I know better. But Dallas, with the resources what they have, we are told winning is everything and how important that is to Jerry Jones. And for decades, literally decades, we've been told he wants to win one to prove that he can win it, and he can win one without Jimmy Johnson. That we are hearing this story. We're getting fed to it for 20 years, 15 years at least, but I think 20 years. Not only does that storyline have to stop, it's about dollars. It's all that matters to Jerry Jones. He can say whatever he wants on his public little shows that he pays for, his little puppets and everything like that, or other talk shows that he calls into. He can say what he wants to ESPN. He can keep saying what he wants till he's blue in the face. It is about money. The Dallas Cowboys are the richest franchise in almost all of sports outside of Europe and soccer teams and everything. And they have continued to be, regardless of winning or losing. And they are constantly talked about. And why is all this? Because it's about money and not winning. So Jerry Jones, I never want to hear him talk. I know he's going to, but I never want to hear another word he has to say, to be honest with you. I don't believe a second of it, and I don't understand what his word is worth if you are a Dallas Cowboy fan. What trust do you put in anything he says? And then you have the coaching staff having what they're having happen. And we have seen Mike McCarthy lose locker rooms before. This state has seen it right up front and close. We saw the wheels come off the last couple of years. I don't know how you bring him back after, in a playoff game, you have Ezekiel Elliott under center with two guards, and that's it. Like, if I was Zeke, like, I am not for quitting, and I've never quit anything in my life. But at that moment in time, I'm seriously questioning my decisions that led me to this point in my life. That this is what I'm doing for a living. No matter what I'm paid, there are 400 500-pound men ready to destroy me, and nothing is stopping them. Literally nothing. I don't know if that was a good call and whatever, you know, led you to that point in your life. How he kept his job after that is insane. Other than, if you look at it from a business perspective, I want somebody that is my puppet. I want somebody that is going to do what I tell them to, that has no backbone, essentially, from what we can tell, in this regard as a football coach. I'm not saying as a man. I don't know Mike McCarthy as a man. I'm not judging him as a person or anything like that. Strictly talking about him as an NFL coach. Doesn't have a backbone, and certainly hasn't. It's cheaper. I got him under contract. It's always cheaper to keep the guy than it is to sign a new one. And so, again, business decisions, well, of course you'd keep Mike McCarthy if those are your factors. But outside of that, I don't get it, man. I don't get it, and I don't get other than why if they're literally paying him or they're being paid, the major sports networks, why they talk about him so much. If they were in Indianapolis, nobody would be. It's weird.
Yeah. I was thinking about that a little bit yesterday. I was watching just the skosh at the beginning. The game was still kind of close, you know, and some of the Cowboys were making some plays, and they're just like, well, you know, they've got these different players that are surrounding now, and even though Dak is out and he might be out for the rest of the year, I think they're really strongly considering surgery on his hamstring. They think the rest of the team will rally around, and, you know, you got to have everybody raise their game. And Cooper Rush threw 13 completions out of 23 attempts for 45 yards.
Ooh.
45 yards passing yesterday. Mm. And you got CeeDee Lamb, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so they were kind of saying, well, we got CeeDee back, you know, and you've got the defense is improving. Well, it just always reminds me of how in the NBA we're seeing the Lakers all the time on TV, or we're seeing the East Coast teams, the Celtics, you know, and they're good. Granted, the Celtics are good. But it's always the West Coast, East Coast. Baseball, you think you see the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Game. Yeah.
And they finally said that they're going to take the Jets off of one of the primetime games because they're just a struggle to watch, too. And so how long are they going to keep showing America's team in the late games or else on Sunday night and Thursday night and Monday night football? You're just thinking, you know, at some point, this has got to have to stop because they might call themselves America's team, but it sure doesn't look like they are anymore. I mean, their record is 3-6 right now. They have the same as the Patriots.
Yeah. We're the worst team in the league. Well, maybe. No, second worst team in the league.
Yeah.
I want to apologize to everybody. We're just finding out in real time that our phones are not working. I just actually tried to call our number just to double check, and it does seem like they are down. I apologize for that, everybody. We will get on that as soon as we can. And that's really rough because we love hearing from you guys. We love talking with you, especially on a Monday. We love hearing from you guys on Mondays, especially after a long football week and everything. But if you got anything and you want to text me or email me, feel free to. I'll try to get it out there for you. James.Mailoff@civicmedia.us. Micah Parsons also throwing his coach under the bus, which one of the few times, usually when this happens, it's not somebody who's actually the size of somebody who could physically do that, Micah Parsons actually could do that. Switching gears a little bit, Randy, unless you had anything on the NFL weekend. I didn't really, there was a lot of
close games, you know.
Yeah.
Kansas City again, looks like they're going to finally lose, block a field goal last play of the game.
Crazy game.
Minnesota only won by 5 over Jacksonville. Of course, Packers kind of struggled with Jacksonville as well. Of the other close games, New Orleans just got a new coach. They picked up a W over Atlanta by 3 points. Jets really did. They didn't. 31.
Yeah.
Steelers, Washington, huh? About ever since they put in Russ Wilson.
Right.
What they won, like 4 straight or something like that? They're 7-2.
It's funny. I don't hear more talk about them being one of the better teams in the AFC, though. You know, even though we've got such a good body of work with Russell Wilson, it feels like they're still waiting for some proof here, and they're not believing a Pittsburgh offense. We're used to the defense. We have no problem believing in that. They're having a little trouble believing in that offense. They'll make people believe, and they got a good opportunity against Baltimore.
Well, you talk about a good game. How about Baltimore and Cincinnati last week?
Man, I love that game.
Right down to the wire there.
They took all the energy out of the NFL weekend for me.
Yeah.
Nothing lived up to that game, so it was kind of like, meh. You know, everything
Plus the
was
Packers just, aren't playing.
Right. It was just kind of like, I don't know. It felt like the NFL weekend was over on Thursday because that game was so darn exciting.
You know, talking about coaches, though, right? And I think if Bill Tomlin was in Dallas or if he was on the West or East Coast, we'd be hearing about him all the time. All he does is win.
Yeah.
Has he ever had a losing record?
I don't believe so.
And how many years has he been there? Somewhere between 15 and 20.
Yeah. He's the longest running NFL coach. And I don't think he's ever had a losing record.
And who talks about the man, right?
Yeah. He just keeps winning and just keeps doing his thing while also being one of the better sound bites in the NFL. Like a really good sound bite, Mike Tomlin. Like a really good one. I'd say there are about 3 or 4 coaches that could get me to go out there and get slaughtered, but they're so hyped, they get you so hyped up that yes, I got to go out there. And the other one, of course, is Dan Campbell.
Right.
I will say it wasn't as exciting unless you are like my dad and a big fan of defense. I could tell every I had a class going on last night, but I could tell every time there was a turnover because I could hear my father in the other room. Oh, no! Hello! I know that he wasn't necessarily rooting for anybody, although I know that, you know, an NFC North guy is probably pulling for Detroit. So I could tell every time there was a turnover. I just didn't expect that many, and I sure didn't expect Detroit to win that thing.
No. Five picks.
Now, this isn't a I'm not trying to curse them with this, but what we're seeing with Kansas City and Detroit right now is very similar to what we saw when actually the same team, it happened for both teams, Indianapolis and Detroit, and Chicago the year they were both in the Super Bowl. That year, Chicago couldn't lose. Like I was dumbfounded almost every week at seeing how Devin Hester would return a touchdown that he shouldn't, or the first time somebody returned a missed field goal for a touchdown, and Brian Urlacher, and then Lance Briggs, and then Urlacher again. Like, there was no reason they should have the record that they did and made it to the Super Bowl, let alone even, you know, competed for 2 minutes like they did. Well, the opening kickoff, we were in that game up until the end of that. Once Devin got into the end zone, the game was over. But
maybe we should spend one more minute maybe on Preston Smith, how the game he did have speaking for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely, yeah.
He had one sack, a quarterback hit, two tackles for loss, and three solo tackles in 23 plays.
Now there's the key stat, and 23 plays.
And I think in his last game with the Packers, if I remember reading it correctly, he had 27 snaps only. His snaps were going down. He was asking for a trade about a month ago. And on the bright side, the Packers did get something for him and saved like $25 million in 2 years. So it's kind of a win-win for everybody because he was more adept at a 3-4 defense instead of 4-3 the way it seems. So, but good for him, and hopefully he can continue to do that for the Steelers.
I thought that move happened so that they could make another move. I actually thought they were going to be the ones to bring in Marshawn Lattimore, and there were even bringing into a different piece that didn't get mentioned or something like that. I really thought that move was about freeing up cap space for this year, not next year. But that's all right. It's still there. That money is not that space is not going anywhere.
Yeah, and then so. Speaking of Lattimore, I think he's sat out because he's got a bad hammy, and he has missed enough games too. So I think they're a little wary of that.
I would almost rather my guy have a broken bone than a hamstring or groin injury. Yeah. But I will say, Chicago isn't going to – I don't think Chicago is going to compete in this game this Sunday. I don't think that Green Bay and Chicago – I don't think it's going to be a competitive game. I really don't. I do think you're going to have a couple of plays here or there. They're going to be exciting on the Chicago sidelines But that's about it. But on the defensive side of things, you got troublemakers. You got guys, and I don't mean like, you know, getting in trouble and dirty players. I mean guys that could give you some trouble with an offensive line that has moments. Like that, it's interesting. Jordan Love and this offensive line are so intact. They are obviously intact, but I mean they're locked in sync. They're very in sync together, and it almost also feels like their moods are together. And there are moments where Jordan Love will be the first one to tell you he has lapses, and that offensive line does that from time to time too. They're all talented enough that if they are locked in, all 54 or 49 plays or whatever it is in the game, they got this. Like, I don't know many teams that can compete with them. Maybe in your own division to Detroit. Obviously, Kansas City, as long as Patrick Mahomes is on the team, they could be down 45-0 with 2 minutes left, and I don't know. I still don't know if they might win that game. But outside of those, like, I mean, three teams, maybe. Baltimore is the most interesting team, I think, maybe in the NFL this year. I will say, because we're watching... Honestly, the only comp I have right now for Lamar Jackson is Dan Marino. Because Marino, and part of the reason I do that in my head is I'm biasing. I have a bias towards Lamar Jackson right now that I don't know that he even owned, that it's necessarily his fault. I kept hearing over and over again that he's got to win the big game. He's got to win the big game. And I'm hearing it again this year. And I'm like, wait a minute, didn't he win a playoff game last year? Like, and he played well in the playoffs. So didn't he pull that monkey off his back? Like, I'm seeing that man do things that I have not seen quarterbacks do. I know everybody wants to talk about his agility and his speed. It's fantastic. We could talk all day about his Tim Tebow type, like, dunk touchdown passes and these things. I want to talk about his brain. His decision-making is so on point the last 3 years. Yeah, he's got a couple picks here and there and everything. Yes, blah, blah, blah. You can go ahead and throw this in my face with like four or five examples, but that's it. You don't have a ton of them. This guy is making very, very smart decisions out there while also being incredibly creative. And just improvising all over the place. So I mentioned Marino because I've still never seen an arm or a brain attached like Dan Marino. I still haven't seen that. But Marino never won the big game, so we can't call him the greatest of all time, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, that's kind of what's being said about Lamar Jackson. And we'll see what happens with that. It sure helps when you have one of the greatest running backs that we've seen in the last 30 years, like maybe even longer than that. Derrick Henry, I actually thought this back with Christian Okoye, like, oh, this is the last time we're going to see a back like this. A guy who looks like he weighs, if he weighs 300 pounds, 250 of it is above the waist. And like, you know, that's it. Like, just a barrel of a man. Derrick Henry doesn't have the biggest legs, but he is, and he's actually thinned out a little bit. But he is somehow just the most devastating player on the field whenever he walks on the field. And I don't care who's playing on defense. I don't care.
Sure wouldn't want to see him coming in at me, would you?
No.
But you think, here's another one I was thinking about as you mentioned that. It says, hasn't Saquon really kind of turned his career? I mean, it seemed like he had a down year or two in there.
Yeah.
And now he's just like a beast again.
Yes.
And then you were talking about the offensive lines, and I was also thinking, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers misses the Packers' offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, people were actually saying last week already that he just doesn't have the escapability, and he's 40 years old, right? And so that's going to go away, obviously. We could see it already in his last year with the Packers that he wasn't, you know, eluding the rushers. Mm-hmm. You know, if he'd roll out to the side, it used to be he could run away from them and he'd pick up a first down or get out of bounds, and that just didn't happen anymore. So if you don't have that strong pocket, going to struggle a little bit, and that's what's happening with them, too.
I think Aaron Rodgers misses 2015. I think he misses 2015, 2014, 2013. I think he really misses that, but you're absolutely right. I don't know if he's self-aware enough to do this, but I got to think that, because I felt like I saw this in, maybe it was his first or his second interview. No, it was probably his first interview, because I think the second or third interview had to do with other things. But when Favre first went to New York, and they're interviewing him, and I'm pretty sure it was after a loss. Or no, actually, I think it was after a win. And he's just got his head down in the locker room. Like, I've never seen him. And it just seems like he just, like, this is, I didn't realize, the grass was not greener. It turns out the grass was not greener. Even though the team is green in their color scheme, it turns out it was not, you know, better. I haven't seen that in Aaron Rodgers yet.
Until yesterday.
Yes, I watched, exactly, yeah,
I
yes.
watched, like, 5 or 10 minutes of his postgame. And he had his head down the whole while, and he barely lifted it up. And, you know, when the Packers went that one year, they struggled, and then they rebounded, and he went R-E-L-A-X, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no relaxing him this year, is there?
No.
I think he just knows it's done.
I saw the same. We saw the same thing. Yeah. I was like, I've not seen Aaron Rodgers like that. No. I've not seen undefiant Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I've seen him after a 3-pick game being blown out by 3 scores and coming in there and exactly what you said, Randy, relax, it's okay. This was just like, I don't know, man. Yeah. You know, I don't know. You saw the game too. I almost asking for asking for answers out of the ether. Just kind of like, please help me. I don't know.
Where do you improve, right? And he goes, well, maybe if I go to Kansas City. I have no options.
We'll take a time out. When we come back, Randy's got some great stats for us. We're going to talk some high school sports. We're going to talk a little Raptors. They are in the news with a handful of changes in the front office. We'll get into some of that. We'll talk some River Kings as they had a nice weekend as well. Plenty more coming up right here on Playmakers with Randy and James, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much for the company. We are working on the phones. We're going to try to get those up and running so that we can get to your sports takes and feelings. I mean, Randy, there are friends of ours out there, listeners, who have sports takes, and they got nothing to do with them. They can't get them out of their system. I feel for these people. This is a tragedy. This is not right. We got to fix this.
Yeah, as I hear on Sunday evening, they've been waiting all day for Monday night.
I've heard this. Yes, I've heard this. But thankfully, we do have some great stats for you and some information for you. Randy Paul, of course, the best in the biz, brings this to us. Randy, what do you got?
Well, you know, one of our sports seasons is drawing to a close, while two others have closed now as of this past weekend. Let's start with the one that's still going on. Level 3 of high school football now in the books. Taking a look at some of the area teams, Division One. How about DC Everest?
Yeah,
as they continue to roll, as the 7th-seeded Evergreens upset the number 1 seed Wanakee 31-21. Everest will now face Bayport at UW Oshkosh on Friday evening. Division Three, 6th-ranked Medford was upset by La Crosse Logan in a thriller, 51-48. From Division 5, top-ranked Stratford leveled Lake Country Lutheran, 34-11. They'll now take on 3rd-ranked Prairie du Chien in the Dells. That's at Friday at 7 o'clock. In Division 6, 9th-ranked Bondwell upsets 2nd-ranked and previously undefeated Coleman, 15-13. Division 7, Edgar continues on the tournament trail as they oust Lord's Academy, 29-6. The Wildcats will face 6th-ranked Boyceville in Chippewa Falls. And in 8-player football, number 1 Owen Withy snuck past number 2 Highland, 23-21. The Blackhawks will go against 4th-ranked Lena St. Thomas Aquinas at 1 p.m. on Saturday right here in Wisconsin Rapids for the state championship in 8-player football. High school soccer. 4 state champions were crowned for the boys down in Milwaukee on Saturday at Eline Park. First in Division 1, Middleton went back-to-back, blanking Green Bay Preble 2-0. D2 saw Waukesha West wins its first-ever state title in a shootout over Elkhorn 2-1 after a scoreless 2 halves of regulation. From Division 3, St. Augustine Prep also wins its first championship with a 2-0 shutout of Sheboygan Falls. And in Division 4, another first-time winner as Lake Country Lutheran upset top-seeded Shoreland Lutheran 1-0. And the rush to the resh for girls' high school volleyball is now complete, as this year a 5th division was also added. Division 1 saw Divine Savior Holy Angels win its 3rd consecutive title with a 4-set victory over Hamilton. In Division 2, Catholic Memorial won for the 8th time in 11 appearances as they swept Luxembourg Casco. From Division 3, after losing the first set, Barron rallied to win the next 3 and upset top-seeded Aquinas to grab their 2nd-ever state title. Division 4 saw my alma mater, Manitowoc Lutheran, win its first-ever state championship in a 5-set thriller over Eau Claire Regis.
Yeah.
And Eau Claire Emanuel Lutheran captured the first-ever Division 5 title in 4 sets over Marshfield Columbus Catholic. So that's what's happening now. Still, this next weekend upcoming is the girls swimming and diving competition down at state. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be down in Waukesha, if I remember correctly. So see if we can get some results on that next week.
Looking forward to it. And a shout out to all our local teams. And a big congratulations to all of them. Great seasons all around.
How about Everest, right? They come in like a number 7 seed and they just keep rolling here.
It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to see. Great local coverage, too. And incredible coverage by you, as always. Thank you, Randy, for that. Appreciate it. I want to talk a little rafters right now. We don't get to talk rafters this time of year very often.
Especially, makes me feel like it's spring with the way the weather's been.
Yes, exactly. A little bit. Get a little feel of that. Yeah. I should have wore shorts today.
Right?
I would have got a chance to. Especially with a pretty steady coaching staff over the years. We pretty much had the same coaches for, you know, a good run here of a rafter baseball that we've had for a good amount of time of the rafters. But if you have not heard, the Rafters have signed a new field manager head coach. We are welcoming here to town Tom Ziggy Zigalowski. Ziggy is our field manager, our new head coach, and he is telling you, make sure you grab those oars because we are riding this raft together to a championship. This man is walking in talking championship right away. He's got a great video on Facebook if you want to go check it out. I already can tell I'm going to enjoy talking with this guy. We got to get him on the air. We got to get him on the air with us. We got to get him talking. We got to get him on and have a good season together because I'm looking forward to this. We actually got the chance to, I would say about a week or two after the Rafters seasons ended. Their, you know, owner, GM, came by and dropped off some equipment. Hmm. Randy, I have never seen that. I have never seen somebody from the top of the front office bringing over equipment and radio equipment. And he did it on purpose because he wanted to talk to us and just have a nice conversation. We had a great talk. We understand better than most, I think, how intertwined we are with the Rafters and the Rafters are with us, how much we benefit each other. And just talking about 2025 and just so excited about it. He had so much energy about the season, looking forward to it. And I got to think part of it was understanding and bringing in a coach like this. There's some good energy with this guy. And he already seems to be getting the local fan base going. So that is exciting. Good to see that.
You know, it reminded me of when we had Mr. Porter in here last week, right? And he talked about Coach Peckman as he was being honored, you know, on Thursday evening, as that was a wonderful evening, and got a chance to see all of the inductees into their Sports Commission of Hall of Fame that they got honored that night as well. So we got some great local coaches, right?
Really do. And not for nothing, man. Coach Paul's been here 2 minutes, like 2 minutes, and we've got a competitive team, and the guy's winning awards. It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. And it also, this is something, too, and I don't believe that there is, when I say competition, I don't mean like traditional competition like the Yankees and Mets or something like that. But when I do say, hey, one franchise is doing well in town, the other one's definitely going to want to do well. That is a real thing. And that's not a thing, that's not a negative thing or anything. Right. That is a standard that, well, okay, we want to rise up to that. The community shows that, okay, this is a team worth investing in. This is not just a business. This is a team worth investing in. The fan base loves this team. So I think that's part of what we're seeing with the Raptors right now.
Right. And, you know, you think about the same thing happening just throughout Wisconsin. Like the Bucks players will go support the Packer players, vice versa, or the Brewers, right? They all get together and they support one another. And the same thing happens, Raptors, River Kings, right? It's a town.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
A community.
Yep. Absolutely. And two other signings. The Raptors are introducing two new front office members. We welcome in. Oh, boy. I got to talk with these guys. Just get their last name.
Yeah, is it Filippi or Filippi?
I think it's Filippi, I think. But
or
we're
Filippi.
Well, we'll have Gwen and Connor correct us and let us know. We'll also let us know what the relation is there, because that can't be a coincidence. I would love that it was a coincidence, though.
Yeah.
We don't even know each other. That'd be great. But they are coming in. Gwen will be the new relations and sales manager, and Connor is the marketing and media manager, two positions we traditionally talk to quite a bit. I do mostly getting players on the air with us and everything. We don't shy away from things here with our audience. Last year was a weird year for us. We've never had a year like that with our Raptors, where we didn't have necessarily the connection that we usually do with that front office and being able to bring players on. That is not at all pointing fingers. That is on all of us, including myself, to do better. And that's what next year is all about, is making sure that next year we keep a consistent run of players coming in and talking with them, making sure that you out there get a chance to really get to know these guys. And we fill up that ballpark and show them what home field advantage is.
Yeah, and maybe start a little hot stove league, you know,
yeah,
in the winter when we're getting excited and sick of winter and excited for Raptor baseball.
I like that. And congratulations to all these new faces. Looking forward to getting to know them and our audience getting to know them. River Kings, Randy. River Kings,
13-4-1 now, I believe.
Yeah, I apologize, everybody. That was not. It was unjournalistic integrity in me. I apologize. Our first place, Wisconsin Rapids, River Kings. There we go. That's
apology accepted.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. River Kings are rolling. River Kings are rolling right now, playing some great hockey. The wins and losses are certainly very important, and we love winning. But I'm telling you, I think one of the magic numbers for the Kings this year is the number 30. If they can get 30-plus shots on goal, good luck beating us. Good luck. This team has got depth. Their third line has got some skaters on it. They have got a couple. They got some nice goalies and a defense that is just hunters. They are hunters. They are looking for it, and they're versatile. The speed on this team is. You're not going to. This is one of those leagues, and the USPHL is a very fine, fine division with some great talent in it and everything. But this is one of those things where you're going to be able to tell the difference between our team and the team in last place, because our team is so well put together. And almost every. I feel confident saying this. Every line has got speed on it, every line has got agility on it, and playmakers on it. Guys that are creative with the puck and that are going to shoot that puck and they're going to pepper that net. And in a league like this, in the NHL, it's difficult to do to just be peppered three straight periods and hold up, let alone in this division with the talent that Coach Paul has put together here and everything. I'm not at all. It's hockey. Anything could happen. The ice isn't, you know, zambonied in one spot and somebody shoots a puck and it goes in that shouldn't have gone in, and you know, the River Kings lose or whatever. Like, anything can happen. But as far as on paper and the way this team is put together and everything, I will take on anybody tonight. Bring it on. This team is just so well put together. You're seeing something with this coach that I can actually tie to, UW and the UW football team. We are seeing a coach, I believe, in his third year. And this is where you got mostly your guys. This is where it's mostly your team now. This is what we expect out of coaching staffs, no matter what the division, no matter what the sport. By your third year, this is pretty much your recruiting class. This is your guys. We're seeing that, what can happen. And I think that that's something to keep in mind with Coach Fickell and that UW team. Don't be Nebraska. Don't be Nebraska, man. Don't be Oklahoma. Don't be one of these teams that's hanging on to like 30 years ago and what we should be and what we should have been. Nothing is the same as 30 years ago. The hairstyle, the fashions aren't the same, and neither are the offense or defenses in football. And the players darn sure aren't. They're bigger, faster than they've ever been before, and you have to adjust to that. The option doesn't work like it used to. They evolved. We started doing this thing that Sid Luckman all of a sudden started doing where he started slinging the ball up forward, like it blew everybody's mind. And it hasn't been the same ever since. I mean, if you want to really go throwback football, then tell me about that. Tell me about before, George Halas ruined the game and started throwing the ball down the field and everything. I would ruin a time machine, Randy. I would go back. I want to sit in the stands and just watch the people. I'm not even watching the game. I want to see the looks on people's faces when they start doing that. You can't do that. People losing their minds over it.
Well, just think Max McGee, right? He was the third wide receiver for the Packers. He wasn't going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it was Carroll Dale went down and he comes in. Oh, they run off five. They'll run off five wide receivers, every other play now.
River Kings with a nice weekend. Congrats to them. Looking forward to having Coach Paul in here soon to talk with him. But
nice 5-2 win on Saturday. You were saying if you get 30 shots, you'll take your chances. Mm-hmm. They outshot Northwest Express 51-23.
I thought it was 51. I couldn't believe that.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's not the first time they've done it. I think that's either the third or fourth time this season that they have had 50 plus shots on goal.
And they outscored Northwest Express 3-1 in that last period, so to put the game on ice, so to speak, right?
Yeah, nice. Nicely done. That's also, and this isn't the case with every scenario, certainly, but I feel pretty confident in saying this is another one of those cases, too, where they are beating these teams down, and defenders on the other teams are not getting in the way of the puck or not being. All that's energy. All that's, heart. There's not a ton of skill involved in diving in front of a puck. I'm not taking anything from it. I'm making light of it. It's one of the toughest things in all of sports, if not humanity, to be able to do that and everything. And I commend every person that has ever done it once. I don't care what the division or what level of hockey they're playing. But guys ain't doing that in a 5-1 game. Guys aren't doing that when they've been beat down for two periods and the third period and they don't feel like they have a shot. They're not diving in front of the puck. So you're getting more shots on goal.
It's like getting in front of Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter, right? you're just going out.
As long as a real quick football reference there, a shout out to Baker Mayfield for keeping off a Bosa while also throwing a complete pass, like a perfect complete pass, too. Baker Mayfield's had a renaissance. That guy, what he's been able to do. So a shout out to the Kings. Help your Kings build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. And we'll, of course, Wednesday, Friday, get you more ready for these games. Did you have any stats on those or anything you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, just going to say Friday and Saturday, they're going to be on the road. They're going to be at the Minnesota Squatch. And that's always, you're talking earlier about Packers-Bears, right? And you're kind of thinking, well, that shouldn't be much of a game, but it's still a rivalry, right?
Oh, yeah, and Minnesota's right there. We're neck and neck with them in the standings right now. So I would say that I'm not taking the Mullets lightly, and I know with what we did to the Express, I'm not taking them lightly, but I do think that you got the class of the league, of the division going up against each other right now weekend.
Yep, you're on the road, so
It should be fun. Did want to get into my stats of the show, show stats. And then we're going to college football here for a little bit. Kind of interesting things I thought. Like in 1899, when Suwanee played 5 road games in 6 days, Randy, we all remember this. It was like it was yesterday, right?
Yeah. I was 10.
They were playing football in 1899. I think that just alone right there could be the stat of the show right there. But yeah, 1899, Suwanee played 5 road games in 6 days and won every game by shutting out the other team. November 9th through the 14th, they played and beat Texas 12-0, Texas A&M 10-0, Tulane 23-0, LSU 34-0, and Ole Miss 12-0. All of those teams have not only gone on to win championships, almost all, they actually actually, Tulane hasn't, but gone on to win and be established, while Suwannee is just sitting there in the upper, I believe, in the upper acres of Tennessee. That's where that university is located.
Way down upon the Suwannee River.
There you go. Also, I thought that one was quite interesting, Randy. I thought that was another one.
Well, you know, talking about college football, we had a couple of big upsets this weekend, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, I was really shocked at Georgia's loss to Ole Miss, 28-10. I never saw that one coming. And Miami to Georgia Tech, the Ramblin' Wreck, they can be tough, right? They got a pretty decent club this year, but my goodness, that was just surprising with Georgia. So now they've dropped down, I think, out of the top 10. But so now, and then of course you talk top 10, Oregon coming to town. Mm. They just beat Maryland 39-18. Mm. They got the Badgers in prime time this Saturday.
Maryland was in that game up until the fourth quarter. So you've got, if you're the Badgers, you're a better team than Maryland. I would hope that you can go in there and do something or at least have them remember that they came to Camp Randall. You know, you play tough.
Just let's not have Iowa.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's important going forward because it's not much different than there's a couple of big differences in college and pro football, of course. But one of the major ones is if I'm a free agent in the NFL and I'm looking at a Detroit Lions team that just went 0-16 or something like that, I may, you know, debate going there and another team. But if the money's there, I'm signing in Detroit. I mean, that, you know, I got a mouths to feed. I got bills to pay and all this. This is a job. I want to win and everything. But at the end of the day, I got to go where the money is and stuff. That's it. That's a professional athlete. That's the life you signed up for. In college, I'm doing a similar thing, but I'm recruiting. I'm recruiting every second of the day, let alone when the games are being played. And I need these kids to want to come here. Because it's no longer good enough to just get them in the room and get them to sign up for their season for one season. I got to keep them believing for three, four years to stay here, not jump into the transfer portal or something like that. So, you don't have to win against Oregon, but you got to show those recruits something. You've got to be able to show that fan base something. You got to show McIntosh something and those things. There are things to build on. The most surprising thing to me about the Ole Miss victory over Georgia, I would say second to them actually beating Georgia, and maybe even in third in that list is Jackson Dart coming back out and everything. That was a very impressive performance by him. What's happened with Lane Kiffin? Where Lane Kiffin went from somebody that it felt like everybody loved to just dog and just dislike. And he goes to Ole Miss, and now everybody loves him. Like, everybody likes Lane Kiffin. I like Lane Kiffin. And I never would have thought I'd say that, but I actually kind of like him. He's not so bad. And I did not think that when he took that Ole Miss job that he would get a signature win. I didn't know if he would before he would take his next job, wherever that might be. I didn't know. But I didn't think he would be at Ole Miss as long as he's been. And I did not know that he'd ever get a signature win in the SEC.
Much less Georgia.
Yes.
Georgia, Alabama.
A team that I came into this season, and I'm obviously, they may not even make the playoffs, man. I could be very wrong about this, but I will die on this hill. That's the best team I thought I saw in college football. I really did. Coming out of week one, I'm like, that's it. That's the team. That's a big win for that franchise, for that that university. And a cool thing to see. When's the last time Ole Miss had a signature win? You know, whoever the coach was.
It's always fun seeing Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Southern Miss, any of those teams win like that. When I saw that Alabama-Georgia game, I went, oh, we're just seeing the national championship play out before us here in week two or whatever week it was, right? And now Alabama's kind of rebounded. They really spanked LSU down in Death Valley the other night. Boy, that was surprising, right?
LSU, I don't know if Brian Kelly knows this or not, but he's already fired.
I was
going
to say, he's got to be a
nut. He's gone. Yeah. He's definitely gone. I will put anything anybody wants on this. Go ahead and email me, everybody. I'll take it. LSU gets rid of coaches that have won national championships. They've done it two times in a row. What are they going to do with this guy? Unless the goal is to be able to have somebody who could turn red-faced, like in a second, is Brian Kelly is the best in college football. At that, nobody is better at getting red faced than Brian Kelly in half a second. We will take a quick timeout. We will come back and wrap up Playmakers here in 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you guys are having a great one out there. Randy and James here to take you to the top of the hour. We're actually going to dive right into some high school, or I'm sorry, some college basketball. I want to talk a little college basketball. I was so excited Randy wanted to talk college basketball. You got some good, but it's already, there's already some players that we can look at and we can really get excited about. And we're having a bit of a throwback here, Randy, where Duke basketball matters again.
Yeah, you know, they think they have the number one pick overall that they got as a freshman this year, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
But he has only been like their second leading scorer, and he's been second leading scorer to another freshman who's from Wisconsin. He actually went to Wisconsin Lutheran High School, who won the Division II state championship last year, and he has been the leading scorer in all three games for them this year. I was just watching a little thing on one of the networks this last week, and they said, well, what do you think of Cooper Flagg? And they said, well, watching that game, I believe he is the second best player on the court. He said, this Con Knipple kid is just unbelievable. I think I heard a stat this summer. They had a shoot around at Duke, and he made like 26 out of 28 from beyond the arc, and the players were just sitting there with their mouths hanging agape because they couldn't believe what he was doing. And they had beaten Arizona State University in an exhibition game earlier this year, 103-47. I mean, they just absolutely destroyed them. Mm. In the second half, they outscored them 66-26. Well, just the other night, Gonzaga played Arizona State. They're number four in the country, and they only beat them by 8. So how good is this Duke team going to be? How good is this Cooper Flagg kid going to be? How good is this Con Knipple going to be? Maybe they'll go number one and two in the draft. Who knows, right?
Yeah, you could see that. Wouldn't that be crazy? That'd be amazing. Something we have is a fly slam-a-jamma or something like that with Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't know if we've seen anything like that since something along those lines.
Right.
Some of those North Carolina teams had a couple of guys go in the first and everything, but never like 1-2. We've never seen anything like that. Other than maybe, I suppose, a little bit. We have back-to-back years, the same French team. We pulled Victor Wembanyama and this other kid, but I don't know. It's exciting. My favorite coach in maybe all of college football or college sports, let alone easily in college basketball, has been Shaka Smart. Has been for a long time. I've liked him for a long time and a great coach.
I know you were so excited when the
Couldn't be more excited. It's the perfect match for him, for the university. I hope he's there for another 30 years.
And I just saw him doing an interview with Sophia Minard the other day, and he's talking about how they, you know, how they work the program. And he says, you know, when we're out there recruiting, we're trying to convince these kids this isn't going to be one and done. You're going to be part of a family, and we want you here for 4 years. And that's, you're going to work hard. You're going to be out there practicing hard. There's going to be tears. There's going to be hugs. There's going to be joy. There's going to be upsets. There's going to be let down. But he says, we're family, you know, and it's a 4-year deal. And it was just kind of refreshing to hear, you know, coach say that.
Yes.
And I think that's why we like Shaka Smart.
Honestly, you can give the wins and losses and everything. It's the guy that I really do enjoy and the way he treats these kids and the way that he coaches. You've never heard him throw anybody under the bus. You've never heard players dislike playing for him or anything like that. I think that's always a big sign when you see former players and the way they talk about their college coach or their high school coach or something along those lines.
You know, you talk about in-state players. Of course, A.J. Storr for the Badgers was one and done. He went to Kansas, and he had 13 points the other day when they beat North Carolina by 3, 92-89. So good for him as he's enjoying his new digs over there.
We look at our schedule, and tomorrow we have the Wisconsin Hockey Hour for you at 7:05 right here at WFHR. Wednesday, we'll have Playmakers from 5 to 6, and after that, we'll lead you into the Luke Fickell Show at 7:05. Going to be interested to see what Coach has to say coming out of a bye week. Friday, more Playmakers for you. Friday night, 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Arizona.
Arizona's number 9 in the country. They got a good squad again.
And Badgers, not so bad right now.
No.
I like what I'm seeing out of the Badgers, so I like that's going to be that should be a really competitive game and see how you rank against them and then that division.
Kind of see where you stand,
As Randy touched on earlier, the mid-afternoon game, 4:30, our pregame kicks off Wisconsin hosting Oregon this Saturday right here. Exciting game one way or the other. And Sunday, 1:40 start time, Wisconsin women's basketball as they host UW-Milwaukee. That should be a good one right there. I do want to make a programming note. Last couple of months, or really since we've gotten to take over your primetime hours here, which we are so thankful to Civic Media giving us the opportunity to be live on the air with with you in this time slot. Tuesdays, Thursdays, we've been having Unlabeled. Seth Faces the Music, thank you so much for the feedback on that. But we only had that there as a placeholder because now, premiering tomorrow, right here from 5 to 6, Community Stories with Melissa Kay. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Melissa's been working so hard on this, got some wonderful veterans interviews to kick off her inaugural episode. And then on Thursdays, Community Stories Junior, where she'll be focusing more on our high schools and our grade schools, really finding out more and more what's going on with the kids and parents and teachers and all that. She is one of the better reporters in the state, I believe. And I think that she's going to have, it's going to be a great show. I can't wait.
And I know we had a Veterans Day program at our school today, so I just want to personally give a big shout out to all of our veterans. Thank you so very much for your service, past and present.
Hey, you know, we haven't gotten to play a game. We haven't gotten to, you know, getting any reps in or anything, but you and I still have the same chemistry. I wanted to wrap up thanking our veterans as well and appreciation to our veterans out there. One of the things that I think would be fun for people out there, you want to combine these worlds, look at people like my grandfather who fought in World War II and in Korea and also got a scholarship to play offensive line at Purdue.
Oh, cool.
There's a combination. A lot of our vets, certainly former players.
And athletes, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got guys like that also left the game to go fight and come back and everything. So many intertwined together and so many that we are here to have a sports show like this and do all these kind of fun, silly things we do thanks to our veterans. Yeah, we appreciate you. Next week, I want to talk a little Cranberry Classic. Hope to have Mr. Brickhauser in with us for that. Randy, thanks a lot for the time today.
Always fun.
You guys have a good night. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.